Back to Ephesians chapter 2 this afternoon. Let's go back and read these verses again so we kind of get our minds set again. He says in verse 13, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were far off, and to them which are nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." This morning, I preached a lot on the first point, and that point was, "And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross." Now we get down to our second point this afternoon, and Paul went on in verse 16, to say at the end of it, "having slain the enmity thereby." Having slain the enmity thereby. Having slain whatever dysfunction, whatever hate, whatever that was separating us thereby. So not only the enmity between the Jews and the Gentiles, but also the enmity between the sinners and God. The enmity that we had toward God. God didn't have any for us. For us who are saved, us who are going to be saved, us who are the elect of God, God never had any enmity to us. Enmity of hate. And God never hated us. And when God says he loved a remnant of the world, that means he loved us who are saved and those who are going to be saved. The enmity was between us and God. It's the enmity we had before we were saved and us between each other. Isn't it wonderful to be able to sit down with Christians everywhere and have a family reunion type deal? Even though you don't know them? Even though you may have never even met them? Isn't it wonderful to be able to sit down with Christians and enjoy your time together? You can go to any church that's a legitimate church and teach us the truth and believe the truth. And you can sit down at their Bible conference or at their church service and enjoy the service, I guarantee you. Just like they can here. If you can't, then you've got some issues, because they're going to preach what God's getting them to preach. And that's what they're preaching. That's what they're teaching. There should be no enmity between us at all. There's not much difference between us at all. Some of us may, we're going to go to 1 John 4. Some of us may believe this, some of us may believe that. But you know what? If God wanted us all to believe the same thing, we would all believe the same thing. Wouldn't we? I mean, we have to understand when we're talking about God, that whatever God wants, God gets. If he wants everything to be just happy and peaceful, he would have made it that way. The world is what God has made it to be. God elected for everything to be the way it is. And Christians and churches are put together as God's assembled them together. Believe it all. And that's what we have to understand. That's why we can differ somewhat in doctrine and understand that, you know what, the Lord just didn't teach us all the same. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, it says, "We love him because he first loved us." That's why you love him. That's the only reason you love God. Those that God didn't love will never love God. And he will never love them. So if God loved us before we loved him, he goes on, says, I read this morning, if a man say, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. You can't love God and hate your brother in Christ. can't be done. It is impossible for a Christian to hate another Christian. Sorry, it just is. If there's any way it happens, one of them's got to be lost. I don't know of a Christian alive I hate. There might be some I get disappointed in. But to hate, I don't really hate anybody that, as far as I know. I may sometimes pop off and say I do, but I really don't. I help people all the time. I help people all the time. I bought a woman a TV, bought her a brand new TV and gave to her because she didn't have one. She went out and pawned it. I was so disappointed. But you know what? That's fine. The Lord knows about it, doesn't he? I try to help people all the time. Sometimes they just jab you in the back. But that's okay. You know what? I'll do what the Lord tells me to do. And God will take care of the vengeance part of it. So it says that he hates his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he that loveth God loveth his brother also. You have to. You know, we may not always get along, and sometimes our tempers may get flared, but I love all of y'all. I do. I hope y'all have the same love for me. I know you do. Because I can feel it. It's the same way when I go somewhere else. I've had church people, brothers and sisters in Christ, and we've had our differences on things, but you know what? We work them out. That's what Christians do. They work them out. Sometimes we just have to disagree on some things, don't we? It just has to be that way, doesn't it? But we never not love each other. How could one person with God in his heart and the love of God in his heart ever hate another that has God in his heart and love God in his heart? If a saved person just cannot love other Christians, then chances are very good that they've never been saved. No matter what they believe, no matter what standings they have in church, no matter how much you may personally love them. Matthew 5. It's not that I have issues with some preachers and some Christians that have issues with other Christians in other churches. It's that they have issues, which causes everybody else to have issues with them. Now, I know I'm not alone because I've talked to others. I would love to get along with everybody. Especially Christians. And I wish I could. When I came here, we had some that disagreed on some things with me, and you know what? We worked it out. I've been here 15 years. 15 years heading to 16 now. That's a long time. That's longer I've ever been anywhere. Only place I've ever been longer than that is married to my wife and living with my mama. The longest job I ever had until I come here was about 9 years. I've been at Tri-State for 13 years. But we've been together for 15. That says a lot. God never told us to treat anybody bad. We have to understand that. The hatred. And that's what you do when you treat people bad. It's hatred coming out of you. Let's look at what the Lord says in Matthew 5. You heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them that spitefully use you and persecute you. Huh. Well, if we're supposed to treat our enemies that way, and we're supposed to treat people that curse us that way, and we're supposed to treat people that despitefully use us that way, why should it be any difference among Christians? Listen, Lord, it goes on. That you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. That's what it shows you. When you can do that, beloved, you're a good Christian. Yeah, I remember the church, I think it was North Carolina or South Carolina, got shot up by the Daniel Ruth kid. One of the hardest things for those people in that church to have done would have to be forgive that guy that shot their family up in that church. That'd be hard. Or someone that killed one of your family members, to forgive them. But God tells us we are supposed to. See, we have to understand that God is the vengeance here. We're not. And hate is a vengeance. We're not supposed to have any hate. In fact, the Lord tells us not to let the sun go down on our anger. We're not to have any hate for anybody. Sometimes the world drags you into that. Sometimes our natural person drags us into that. But we shouldn't go there. Especially among Christians. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth forth rain on the just and unjust. That's what he does. He blesses them by blessing us. God could end the world today if that's what he had chosen before the foundation of the world. Now that God has preordained everything to be, it must be done the way that he preordained it. He can't change. So it's going to go exactly as he elects for it to go, but God could have chosen to end the world when Adam and Eve sinned. He could have just sent them to hell with Satan and been done with it no more. He could have went ahead and drowned everybody on the ark. He flooded the earth. But he chose not to do that. God showed to have mercy, grace, even on the unjust. They don't know it, but he has. Every day that the unjust breathes air on this earth, there's another day they've been blessed with God. Because if they are the non-elect, they're going to go to hell. It's just a matter of when God's going to send them there. God has no good for them. But he does give them that much grace to allow them to live another day. He owes them no time. He owes them no days. But we have to understand that it's God that makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good. He makes it rain on the good and the unjust both. The enemy must not exist among the believers. If it does, then there it must be issues. The enmity cannot exist among us. Jesus Christ has put that enmity away. He took it to the cross and he slain it. Romans 12. Remember this I'm going to go back and read the scripture we just had in 1 John 4:20. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, that's not his earthly brother, that's his spiritual brother, he is a liar. That's what God said. Remember, God said, if people that's lost don't believe his reports. They make God a liar. You know why? Because that's what God said salvation was. That's what God declared it to be. And every time they get up and they preach about works, or you preach about baptism, or you preach about something for salvation outside of the grace, mercy, and love of God and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, they're calling God a liar. Because God said different. Well, here, God said they're a liar. And he goes on to see, to say in that same verse, for he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? In Romans chapter 12, verse 17, the Lord said, recompense to no man evil for evil. He doesn't say to the saved. He says to no man, none. You never render evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. That means be honest among them. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peacefully among all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemies hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, you shall heap coals of fire upon his head. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. That's what the Lord said. That's not what I say. It's what I say because that's what the Lord says. But that's not what's coming from me. That's coming from the Lord, which makes it come from me. But what the Lord says here is do good to people. Not just Christians, but all people. If they're hungry, feed them. I'm not saying give them money to go give them something to eat. Walk inside. Give them your bank card and tell them to feed the guy. I've done it many times. I do it a lot right out here at McDonald's on 7th Street. You don't tell how many breakfasts I bought up there for other people. If people are hungry, I'm going to feed them. If they want a cup of coffee and they can't afford one, and you know, sometimes people don't even ask. I ask them. I got a guy that comes up in a wheelchair. And I just ask him, man, you want some coffee or something this morning? Yeah, I take a cup of coffee. It's small, just a small one. Yeah. That's what I like. I like people that, you know, tell me what they really want. But that's what you do. I'm not bragging on myself. I'm just doing what God tells me to do. Help people out. That's what Christians do. They help each other. And they help other people. You don't know. The Lord said we never know when we're entertaining angels. What's that tell you? That tells me that God can just put somebody up. And an angel in a human form, and I believe God can do it, and I think God does do it. To test us. God does many things to test us in this life. I'm convinced of that. Brother Hammond used to teach that years ago, and I'm convinced of that. God's used angels before. He's turned them into men before, hasn't he? Remember over in Sodom and Gomorrah? The men desired the men, the angels that were men. But that's what the Lord says. If God tells us to treat lost people that way, or people that we don't even know that way, how do you think he means for us to treat each other? Breaking down the middle wall of partition between us. No matter who we are in this world. Breaking it down. Killing the enmity that we have. Between us. Back into our text, verse 17, we go to our third point. And that's as far as I got, is our third point. That'd be our last, but it's a long point. In verse 17, Jesus Christ never hated any person. He did for both, saved and lost. He did for them. It says in verse 17, and came and preached peace to you which were far off. Do you think everybody that Jesus did things for were saved? I don't know. I know a lot of things he did for people, they were saved, and a lot of things he did for people become saved. We go to Isaiah 61, and then we're going to go to Luke 4 to see the fulfillment of Isaiah 61. Jesus Christ was anointed to give his life for people that originally hated him. That's why God sent him here as a man. It says in Isaiah 61, verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek, and hath sent me to bind them that are bound. Sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, and to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison unto them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. That is a prophecy of Jesus Christ. We're going to see it in Luke 4 fulfilled. In verse 17, Luke 4, it says, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, and he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of the sight of the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. That's why Jesus came. He told us through our forefathers, the apostles, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Not that all of them's going to be saved, but that we may go and take the good news of the word to all creatures. He was also reminding these Jews that others whom they did not know, who they thought would never be part of the original like fold of God, because they hated Gentiles. See, when people start thinking about what God's doing and trying to think ahead of what God's actually done, they can't figure out what God's doing. And while God picked Israel to be his chosen nation, he also had a chosen people. The chosen people are the elect of God, some Jews, some Gentiles. But every one of them is God's chosen people. And every one of them will be saved. It don't matter who they are, what part of the world they come from, what color they are. It don't matter how rich or poor they are. It don't matter if they have one arm, two arms, or no arms, or legs, or anything else. What matters is whether or not God chose them to be his. We're so blessed that God chose us. The Lord said, and I've read this several times, real quickly I'm going to go there, John chapter 10, verse 16. He told these Jews, he said, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. He's going to bring them into the fold, that they shall hear my voice and shall be one fold and one shepherd. No matter who they are. It don't matter who they are. If God wants them to be his children, that's what they're going to be. Jesus Christ was dispatched from heaven to die for sinners, to shed his blood to cleanse us from our sins. But since we have no idea who the elect are, we must love everybody in the world. And not have enmity toward them, not have hate toward them, not wish wrath upon them. As believers, we must be peaceful people, as God has so commanded from his word, and never a hostile people. I've been guilty of breaking that very commandment. I have attempted in my life to be more loving and prayerful toward lost people, toward those that despitefully use me, toward those that hate me, toward those that want to harm me. I have personally, out of my study of the Word of God, tried to change my heart to where I am more in line with the Word of God in that area. This should be who we are as Christians. Acts chapter 1, if you will. Jesus Christ commissioned the first church to be witnesses to the entire world of people. I know a lot of people don't believe it, but the people actually gathered together in Acts chapter 1 is the local New Testament church that Jesus started at Jerusalem. I don't know if it's every member that they had. 120 sounds more low to me, but as many as God wanted there were there at that time. And the Lord told them not to do anything until the Holy Spirit came, until the Comforter came. He says in verse 8, but you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. That's Acts chapter 2. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all of Judea and all of Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. The Lord Jesus Christ is talking to the first church. And when Jesus Christ spoke to the first church, both the Great Commission here and other places we find it, he was speaking to this church right here. Jesus Christ was speaking to every church in existence when he spoke, or ever will exist, when he spoke to these churches. And that's what Jesus is telling us. What kind of witnesses are we to the world if we find ourselves with enmity between us and they? What kind of witness would Jesus have been had he walked down the street zapping people dead? Yeah, I said zapping. He had to try to kill them, didn't he? Why would he just walk down the street killing them? He didn't do that. There was no enmity in his heart. Jesus came in peace. He started a church in peace. He taught the church to be peaceful. When when Jesus returns, things with Jesus in this world is going to be different. That peace, that generosity, grace and mercy that he had will be gone. All of his children will be gone. And that he's got some business with this world to tend to. But right now, we're in a state of grace and mercy from God. Not just on us, but also on the lost. I can't remember what scripture, maybe it's in Malachi that the Lord talked about. I'm paraphrasing this. It's good that he doesn't repent. It's good for Israel he doesn't repent. Well, it's good for us he doesn't repent either. It's good for us that he promised eternal life, isn't it? First Timothy 3. 1 Timothy 3, and I'm almost done. We're going to go to 1 Timothy 3 and Acts 2. In 1 Timothy 3, the Lord spake through the Apostle Paul, saying these words in verse 16, and he says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Indeed, great is the mystery of God, isn't it? See, everything about God's a mystery. His word is a mystery. Do you know that? You say, but it's not a mystery to me. It is. You don't understand everything there is to understand about it. You don't know everything that's there. You're not infallible in the Word of God. You may think you are, but you're not. I am not either. I have found myself to be in error more than probably any man I know of in my lifetime over the last 30 years of my ministry. Whatever it's been. Yeah, probably more than that. We've been married 37 years, about 35, 36 years of my ministry. Acts chapter 2. Paul went on in our scripture in Ephesians 2 at the end of verse 17 to say, and to them that were nigh. He doesn't mean to just those that are far off, but also those that are close to you. In chapter 2 of Acts, verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. It don't matter where they're at. Don't matter how far or how close. The Lord said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, church. He said, take it to everybody in the world. You don't know who's going to be saved. You don't know who the elect are. You just take the gospel everywhere. Whether it's here in Texarkana, or here in Texas, or here in the United States, or here in the world, you just take it to the world. It's needed everywhere. We're going to close right there for the sake of time. And we will pick up with verse 18 next Sunday. And we're getting close to the end of this. I will say that I've uploaded some more. We have 9 sermons uploaded, probably 9 more to upload. If anybody wants to hear them, they'll be there for you to hear. Appreciate it.